Greetings in Jesus' name this evening. Certainly a blessing to be here. Appreciated the devotional, and it went along with my message for this evening. And so we bless the Lord for that. And just in the way of introduction, I won't take a lot of time in that. I know a few of you here. Actually saw some that I didn't realize come here and were here and are here, and so it's good to see you and be here with you. I'm Irvin Yoder from Montezuma. My wife was Beulah. She passed away April 2 years ago. We have 6 children. We had 3 boys, and then we had 3 girls, and Troy is the oldest. Him and Matilda, they live right across the road from us, and or from me now. And Joellen, my second son, lives in Withville, Virginia, married to Glenda Bender, and they have 3 children, expecting another one in October. My third son, David Lee, lives right next door there. He's married to Heidi Cross, and they have 4 girls. He's also a minister in our church. He was ordained about 10 years ago. And our oldest daughter, Lynette, is married to Mark Mass, and they're in Fincastle, Virginia. They have 3 children. Next is Teresa. She's married to Leroy Whitt. They live there in Montezuma, and she helps me a lot, has helped me, and not only her, but my in-laws also. And then Janelle is married to Jason Knapp, and they live in Fincastle, Virginia also. So we had 19 grandchildren when my wife passed, and now I have 21. So I'm blessed. We're blessed, and it's good to be here. And I trust that you have been praying, and I've been praying, and as the brother said this evening, I need a revival. We all need a revival. We need a refreshing in our walk with God. That's just normal because we're human, and we're prone to wander away, and we're prone to forget, and we're prone to get too involved with things of this world that are going to pass away. And so we need to focus on God and His Word and the Lord Jesus Christ and what He means to us. And so just beginning this evening, I want to read the first 5 verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Maybe taking it a little bit out of its setting, but Paul was writing here, and this is really how I feel this evening. And it says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." And that is the way I feel this evening, honestly. "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And you will see as I preach and as I go through, I'm not a man with use words that are hard to understand. I'm very simple and just... That's just me. "That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I think of a verse where it says, 'For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all that believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek.' And that is my testimony this evening. I'm not ashamed of that." Reading a few verses in Philippians chapter 1. And again, it's Paul writing to the church there at Philippi, and doesn't exactly fit for me here this evening, but we can apply it. Reading the first 11 verses here in Philippians chapter 1, it says, "Paul and Timotheus, the servants," I want to notice that word, "the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, and may I see this evening which are here at Calvary, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. And that has been, my prayers have been for you and with you in the last days and times. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you all, in you will perform it. And that is my prayer and my desire and my belief for you, God's people here tonight, until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. And that's as far as we will read. So if we notice here, it says, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ. And I had to think of that this evening as we think back of slavery and we think back of servants that used to serve. And we know back in the Old Testament, it says that they... servants, slaves that were faithful to their masters, they put an awe in their ear and they committed their lives to their masters forever, for the rest of their lives. And would to God this evening that that is our testimony, our desire, and really what we want is to be servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now for the message, if you would turn with me to Romans chapter 13. And in devotion, it was brought out about we need a revival, and we all do, and we have, we're prone to wander away, and we just are prone to become lax in our Christian life and our walk with God. And here in chapter 13, the last portion of chapter 13, if we would go back to chapter 12 and the first part of chapter 13, it gives much direction on the Christian's life, on the Church of Jesus Christ, and how that we, it even brings out of our duties in the church and those things. But then it goes on in the last part of chapter 13. We'll begin reading in verse 11. And it says, "And that knowing the time, that it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, nor not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof." And as we look at this portion of Scripture, it gives us commands. It gives us three times it says, "Let us, let us." It says, "Let us walk honestly." Well, before that, in verse 12, it says, "Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light." Then it says, "Let us walk honestly." So it's three times it's commanding us to walk and to let us do this and what he's telling us here. So as we look at that, it is as it were an alarm clock going off to tell us to arouse us out of our sleep, out of our spiritual sleep. It is just that away. So often it's as an alarm clock needs to go off to awaken the believers who have gone to sleep in this world. And we face so many things that just are apt to put us to sleep. and not aware of a new day that is on the horizon. And I believe that with my whole heart. And I know I've heard that preached from the time that I was a little boy, that we're living in the last days. But I think that we need to be aware that the a new day is on the horizon. And I believe the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is close at hand. And so it is telling us, knowing the time, it is high time to awake out of sleep. As we think of that, it's the urgency of the time to arouse the camp from slumber. Time is passing away. And people, like my dad used to say, people are dying that never died before. And Whitey Man is passing from this life and going on to be with the Lord, at least if they're ready to go. And so we think of the urgency of the time to awaken the camp out of sleep. And that is for me this evening, and as well as it is for you. And I need revival just like you do. We all need revival, and to be re-energized by God and His Word, and to awaken us out of sleep, because we are prone to go to sleep spiritually. Most times, people, you think about when we're driving, most times we don't get sleepy when the road is curvy and hilly and it's rough, and we have to stay awake to stay on the road. But most times we go to sleep, when we get sleep is when it's a straight drive and it is easy, and we just get lax and we look around, and well, I live there on Highway 26. Some of you know where I live. It's a straight road. We have pecan trees on both sides of the road. Sun Troy is on the one side, and I'm on the other side. It's big pecan trees. Now, I've lived there for 67 years, and I thought the trees were big when I was young, but they're just bigger. They're big trees. It is a straight road, but we have had accident after accident. We've had several accidents right on that straight road. Years ago, early in the morning at about 4 o'clock, it was a lady that was driving. She was probably in her 40s, I would think. She had been at a place and was gambling. I don't know what happened. I don't know if she fell asleep. I don't know what took place. But she ran off of the road right into one of those big pecan trees. And I came there, found her there. She had her hands on the steering wheel, and life was gone. And in one of her hands was, I don't know how many $100 bills. They said she was gambling. But it was on a straight road. And she was gone. Life had fled. We had a tractor-trailer truck that was carrying, I forget what was in that truck. But he ran off the road and hit one of them trees, and it just tore the back part of that trailer up, and there was food and things scattered all over the place. I don't remember if it killed him or not. But anyway, but it is often when things are going smooth and things are going so good, and that is when we are prone to get lax, and we are prone to not be on fire for the Lord. And so I believe He's telling us here to wake up. Physically, now let's think just a moment of physically of our sleep. I don't know if you like to sleep as good as I do, but I like to sleep. It is just, now you young people, you don't enjoy that so much. But it is just a fact. And most of us have experienced deep sleep, really deep sleep, just sleeping so good. Sometimes I have, and I haven't experienced that so much recently, but back when I was milking cows, and you know, we had to get up early to do chores, and I had, it didn't happen often, but it had happened. And I overslept. I was sleeping so good. But you know, without any noise or anything, in a moment, I was wide awake. I knew something wasn't right. I could just feel it. And I had overslept. But I was wide awake in just a moment. And I sensed that something wasn't right. I had overslept. And maybe sometimes we wake and there's a strange feeling. Maybe something is there, something is not right. And we sense it. I have actually slept to the point where I was supposed to get up. Now, this happened years ago, 20, 25, 30 years ago. I don't know how long, but and a new day was already on the horizon, and I was supposed to be up maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours before that. And so that happens. And I think as we think of that in our spiritual lives, sometimes slumbering in our spiritual lives, sometimes we need a quiet alarm clock at other times we need a bullhorn to waken us out of our spiritual sleep and to awaken us to know where we're at in relationship with Jesus Christ. And even though we have experienced the new birth and we have been walking with him, and maybe the road is so easy and so straight, and materially wise we're doing, financially we're doing so well, and those are the times that often we are prone to become lukewarm. And we need a revival. We need to wake us up out of our slumber. It is at those times when we experience carelessness in our lives and indifference. Negligence. And what do I mean by that? A blameworthy lack of strictness, discipline, and carelessness in our Christian lives. We just become careless. And he's telling us here to wake up because a new day is on the horizon. And we don't want that new day to come, and we are not prepared for that new day. And I'm speaking about the second coming of Christ, or either Christ calling us individually to go to be with him. So he's telling us to wake up. Years ago, I was traveling through the state of Tennessee, and it was on the eastern part of the state, and there was sign after sign. It said, "Be alert, arrive alive." And I thought about that often. Be alert, arrive alive. Or we could say, be awake, arrive alive. And I believe that is, I'm speaking about spiritually this evening, so that we are awake and we know what our standing is with God, and we are on fire for him, and it is in our whole being is to be in God's will and to follow him and to live for him and just simply be what he wants us to be. But as I think of awake from indifference, and what is indifference? Now, I have to think of it. It can be indifference and neither good or bad, of no importance or value one way or the other. Just marked by lack of interest and enthusiasm. Just indifference. Because the night is far spent, whether that be when Christ comes or when we are called to Christ. Signs of the last times. We know that we could go in Genesis chapter 6, and we know when God destroyed the first world, and we know the condition of the world at that time. Where the wickedness was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And we can tell when summer is here, we know when there's winter, and summer is here, and we can tell the times and the seasons, the Bible tells us, but it is hard for us to determine sometimes how it is in our Christian life and how it is. Has the salt diminished in our lives? And so he is telling us to therefore cast off. We have to cast off before we can put on. We need to cast off the works of darkness and those things that hinder us. And I think of the first thing is unthankfulness. And we could go to Romans chapter 1, and it gives us a directive there of the beginning of a downfall and the beginning of wandering away from God is an unthankful heart. And I believe it should morning after morning after morning when we awake. And I love to just spend time and think and thank God for his blessings. Thank God for salvation. Thank God for what he's done in your life. And spend time in his word. time and time again, counseling with people, and they say they're not where they want to be in their Christian life. Time and time again, it is they say we have slacked off on our Bible reading and our devotion and our prayer life, and it can happen so quickly. We need to set a time when we do that daily. If we don't, it is so easy just to not get it done. So as we think of that, unthankfulness, it affects us personally. It affects our relationships with others, even our companions, our family, our church family. It makes a difference in our relationship, in relating with others. And so often it is at that time when attitudes, even about ourselves, might not be good. I wonder if you've ever experienced that. That is easy to do. You know, we think we're not like so-and-so. But those are times when those things can come in. Bitterness. And it tells us here in strife and envying, and we think of jealousy and selfishness and these things. And when those things are in our hearts and in our lives and we're affected by that, the alarm clock needs to be going off and awaken us to come out of sleep and to seek God and put those things off. It tells us to put off before we put on. Walk honestly. Dishonesty seeks darkness. Dishonesty seeks the night. Dishonesty does not want others to see. But as we, the children of day, walk honestly, we have nothing to hide. We're open with brothers and sisters, with our companions, with whoever you're close to, we're open. And we share, and it is nothing to hide. But when there's things in our lives that we don't want others to see, then we're walking in darkness and we want to hide those things. But God, help us that we awake, put off those things. He says first to put off those things, and then we can put on. And we can experience the blessings that God has for us if we are willing to put off, first of all. And as we put on, this implies uprightness, pure lives, which need no concealment, as though a bright light is revealing every action in our life. And I had to think about this evening as we began this. It's just four messages. And I know that's not many, but as we think of that, I had to wonder tonight, have you ever had an x-ray on your body? Have you ever been to the dentist, the place that is so lovely to go to? None of us like to go there. I just came back from Kenya last Friday evening. We flew into Atlanta, and I was over there for over 2 weeks, and I actually went to the dentist in Kenya. And, you know, usually the first thing they do is they put the light on. They put that big light down there and just, they want to see everything with your teeth. But I think of x-ray. Now, I had a hip replacement, and I've had x-rays, and I've had, and it reveals what is inside. It reveals what is wrong. And I had to think this evening, what if God's x-ray light this evening would shine down here? Would we be willing to step into that light and allow God to reveal to us anything in our life that is not right? It tells us in Psalms 139, "Search me, O God, and see if there be any wicked way within me." And if we pray that earnestly, I have confidence and I believe with my whole heart, God will reveal it. He does reveal it. If we pray that with an honest heart. And so, are we willing to step in that light and allow God's x-ray light to shine in our hearts and our lives? And I want to do that for me, first of all. But for each one of us, are we willing to do that? He goes on in this portion of Scripture and talks about putting off the works of darkness. Some of those things that I don't think we're that much involved in, you know, it talks about rioting and drunkenness and not chambering and wantonness, not in strife. Now, maybe that comes home, and envying. Some of these things that come into Christians' lives and can affect us to the point where it destroys our relationship with God and with our fellow man and with brothers and sisters in Christ. And so if that is the case, the alarm clock needs to be going off in our hearts and in our lives. Sinful relationships and hard to control. I think of some people that, how can I say, that envying and strife and not at peace, and it's almost like a time bomb in their life, and any little thing that goes wrong, it just they snap in a moment, and they get upset. They get and God help us that we will never allow that. We have control. The Bible says God does not give us a spirit of fear, but He gives us the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And the sound mind is good judgment and all those things. And so we need to apply that to ourselves. But as we think of the enemy of our soul, and I don't want to spend much time on that, but I think of that in the Garden of Eden. We know how Satan came there through the serpent, and Adam and Eve were doing so well. It was like going on a straight road. I mean, they had everything they needed. And yet Satan came through the serpent and tempted. And Eve yielded, and Adam yielded. And that's when, from that point forward, sin, we're born with that sinful nature. And it is thus something we have to work with. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, Satan used the serpent, and he still, in many different ways, he desires to lull us to sleep. Satan doesn't, it's not so much how he does it, how he works, but he wants to take us away, and he will, until we take our last breath, he will try to do that. But thanks be to God, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, so we can have the victory over that. He comes as an angel of light. He is the arch deceiver, and he deceives many people, many Christians, and I'm honestly alarmed. Even in our day and time in the Anabaptist churches, there's deception and there's false teachings that are going around, and I've heard it the last year or two. Some that don't believe that the earth was created in 6 days. Some that believe that there is not an eternal punishment for those that are without Christ. And even some other things. But as I think of that, it is so important that he just desires to destroy us. And the world is pressing in on the church, on the churches of our nation. Not just on churches, but on individuals. And maybe we will talk about that later sometime. I wonder what you as individuals here this evening are facing in your life that is a struggle. Maybe even to the point that you've lost a relationship, peace with God. And it can be so many different things that Satan brings in our lives and wants to destroy us. But we need not to yield to his temptations, but much more continue to live in the light, to walk in the light. But I think there are many things under the name of Christianity that is not as it ought to be, especially even in our land today. And now I want to turn to Matthew chapter 7. Where it says here, beginning to read in verse 21, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, "Not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Now, we have many people in the world today that are saying, "Lord, Lord," or "I love, Jesus loves me," and all that is good and right, it is good. I was in Kenya, and it is a nation. I was amazed. My son served over there for some over 3 years. And he warned me, he said, "Now, you're going to open your eyes. You're going to see things." It is amazing. But I was surprised at how many people in Kenya that go to church, many of their taxes have something written on the back about God. God loves you, or something about God. And I was surprised at that. But it is the churches there that AMA is working with. It's a blessing. And those that are dedicated, I was just blessed by that. I mean, sincere Christians that I believe are walking with God and doing the best they can and the best they know to do. But we're living in a time, and then I think of over there, it is just a sea of people. I mean, I was just amazed in the towns and just thousands and thousands and thousands. You couldn't hardly walk in the streets, and they're trying to sell you things. And it was an experience that I won't forget for some time. But here it says, "Not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Now, I want to read the rest of this chapter. And it says, "Many will say to me in that day," and that is at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, either at his second coming or when we are called out of this life. "Many will say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine," notice, "and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall thereof." Now, when I think of that this evening, it is those that are not anchored in Christ Jesus, and it is those that have been lulled to sleep, and those that are not on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in Revelations, Michael read in Revelations there, how that over and over he said, "Repent." And the church at Laodicea, they had become lukewarm. It says that he will spew thee out of their mouth if we're lukewarm. And so this evening, how is it in your life, and how is it in my life? Have you been on fire for God? Are you doing the things that God desires for you to do? Are we going to come to the judgment bar of God and say, "We've done all these things"? And God will say, "I never knew you. Depart from me." It is those that build their faith on the Lord Jesus Christ and on the rock, the solid rock of Jesus Christ. And we have a sure foundation. We have a foundation that's going to stand. And the storms can come out on the sea of life, but we have cast our anchor into the heavenly. We have an anchor that will hold, and nothing can pull us off from that. But we have to stay awake and alert in our Christian life and walk with him daily, live for him, or else we're going to be found of those that have built on the sand. And we have not ready for that day. And so I just encourage us this evening. It says, "And great will be the fall." It will be a fall into a Christless eternity. And none of us want to experience that. I had to think of the rich young ruler that came to Jesus. And what must I do to inherit eternal life? Now, I'm saying it in my own words. And he went on to say, Jesus told him, and he said, well, he's done all these things. And Jesus said, one thing. Now, think about it. Only one thing thou lackest. One thing. But you know the rich young ruler. That was too much for him. He had his heart on that one thing. And he went away sorrowful. Not too long ago, I had a dream. And I shared it with the church family. I had a dream. And I had a dream that I was going to heaven. But in my dream, there was one in our congregation, a brother that I thought was a faithful brother. And I was told he can't go. He owed someone $44, and I don't know why that figure. I'm just saying, it was just a dream. But I was so let down. Such a little thing. But I was told, no, he can't go. Such a little thing. And so I want to encourage us this evening. If there's just a little thing in our life that is hindering us, and Satan has lulled us to sleep, and we have become lax, or whatever it might be, and it's something I believe, if we know what it is, we have the promise. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from what? Part of our iniquity? No, all of our iniquity. And then we can have a relationship with him and we can have peace with God. And so that is a blessing. Love either God and his kingdom or the world and all the things in it. If we do that, we will go down with the world. But if we love God and his kingdom, fear God and keep his commandments, and do what he wants us to do, then we can experience the blessings of God. So as we think of that, I want to read a few verses in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Thinking of the last time, and here it says, this know also, 2 Timothy 3, the first 5 verses, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, high-minded, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And notice, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. So as we think of that this evening, and just our life in whole, as a whole, where am I with God? Where do I stand before God? God knows us through and through. And as he shines his X-ray light on my heart and my life, and on your heart and your life, what does he see? What does he see? Is all well with your soul tonight? But I thank God this evening that we don't have to close on a negative, but we can think of Jesus and his love for us. And we sang the song this evening, Tell Me the Story of Jesus. And we could speak about that all night. But think about the love of Jesus. He walked up Calvary's Hill for you and I. He had, the Bible tells us, they plowed furrows on his back. And I don't believe this evening that we can imagine for one moment and really see Jesus as he was at that time. I believe that he was blood covered from head to foot all the way down. And he walked up Calvary's Hill for you and I. He laid on the cross. They didn't take his life, but he gave his life for you and I, that we can have redemption through Jesus Christ, and the precious blood of Jesus Christ washes our sins away. And that tonight should set us on fire, and we should have a love for him and dedicate our lives to him and determine by the grace of God to live for him until he calls us home. It is just that important. I think of our lives sometimes as electric lines that we see, and I noticed some of those as I was driving in. You know, sometimes, so often, maybe you don't experience that, but I have experienced in my lifetime. Sometimes our life is like that. We go up and we go down and we go up and we go down. It is just, we are human. We are living in the body that is not converted. But we have been born again by the Spirit of God, and so we are new creatures in Christ Jesus, but we still have to contend with the nature that is within us, but thank God we can live in victory. The victory that is in Christ Jesus, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. The Bible tells us that. And so as we think of that, let's take courage and give our lives to him to the point that he will strengthen us, direct us, his Holy Spirit indwelling us, and we can walk in holiness before him. I'm going to close with that. I really ask an interest in your prayers because I wasn't sure what for the following messages. I usually like to come to a congregation when I go for a week of meetings and I see, do you have a lot of children? Do you have a lot of young people? Do we have, how is it? So I see it's a mixture here. So now what shall I preach? So I just ask an interest in your prayers. Really, it is... I pray that God would give me a love for your people. And that is really my desire. And would to God that I would experience revival as we heard this evening and be renewed in my spirit and just a new zeal for God and on fire for him and want to live for him. And not let the things of this world hinder us to the point that we will miss the goal. And I have to think of it this way. You know, God tells us to be ye holy, for I am holy. And God is altogether holy. And he desires and he wants us to live in holiness. Purity is so important to God, and it should be to us. Not just young people, but all of us. I'm alarmed at our day and time. I know of some older men that have been Christians. I took it for years. And I was just taken back when I see and I hear and I see of those that I know that have not been faithful and are older in life and have gone a wrong way. So God help us. Whether we're old or young, it is so important that we live pure lives to the honor and glory of God. And I may touch on that later in one of the messages. Thank you for being attentive this evening. I may have been kind of mixed up this evening. I trust that you could get something. Let's pray for one another, and we want to be an encouragement to one another. You certainly can be an encouragement to me, and I want to be to you as we worship together in the following evenings. Shall we stand for closing prayer?